Welcome to episode 276 of the Linux Logcast. We are an open podcast slash log that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate on the podcast. Check out linuxlogcast.com for the server details. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlogcast.com. You can also join our conversation on our Matrix server and our Matrix room. There you also have a YouTube and PeerTube channel where we have videos. The videos don't get posted as quickly as the audio does, but they do eventually make it up there. I'm your host of this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight is Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
Minix.
Hello.
And Netminer.
Hello.
I guess the fastest I've gone through an intro in a while. All right, Joe, you said you had a bunch of stuff you were working on.
I had an update.
Update, okay.
Because I've been talking about the migrating all of those drives on my DAS off of my garage PC and simply onto the rack and using like a NAS. So Open Media Vault is what I went with. And I finally got them all moved. But I had to disconnect both the 250 gig drives, which is perfectly fine. But I did have to move a bunch of the images that were on those onto an 8 terabyte. And that worked out well. And then with all five drives hooked up there, four of them are passed through to Open Media Vault.
Their audio is real bad.
Yeah, I'm using a shitty headset. I can switch to a different one. Give me a second. I have to rebuild this other headset, the one that I like.
I thought you have like a million of them.
Ooh, that's loud.
Man.
That's loud?
Yeah. Well, we can hear background noise.
Is it a fan or something?
Right.
Better?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I do have a whole bunch of them, but most of them are Bluetooth, and the ones that aren't, the Razer and Aries all have bad USBs. The one that I like, the Arctis, I need to take it completely apart and rebuild it, and that's not that big a deal. I just got the tool to actually do it correctly, which is this spring clip wrench. So the workaround that I had in place kind of came apart, which is why I'm not using it right now. So, yeah, I'm using this HyperX clone, which has a decent microphone. So I was using a Plantronics one, which is supposed to be for conferencing, so I don't know why the microphone sounds like shit.
It's just like crackly, like it's, I don't know, a bad connection or something.
Right.
It's USB dongle, but yeah. Anyways,
so you were saying about your
onto the Open Media Vault.
Yeah.
I've got I've got two drives currently. I got one that's doing nothing. I've got one drive that has most of my TV shows, but there wasn't enough room for all of my TV shows there. So on another one, I have the kids' movies, the kids' TV shows, the movies, and the rest of my TV shows. And that was all able to fit on another one. And then on another drive, basically right now, and more stuff will go on to the one, but it has just my audiobooks on it. So I've had to redo parts of my R stack because of it, and I'm not quite done yet. I have to redo my read R stack, which keeps track of all my audiobooks. And then I had to redo my Plex, which I will have to continue because I'm currently moving the movies over and haven't finished yet. But the TV shows I've already moved, and that's all set up. And then I had to jump through some hoops in order to get the shares mounted to Proxmox, because you can't do it at boot, because Open Media Vault isn't running yet at boot,
right?
Because it's on the same machine. So what I ended up doing was learning a little bit of Perl. I could have done it in Bash, yes, but why not learn a little bit of Perl while I have the opportunity? And I started using hook scripts, which wait long enough for the network to be up on my Open Media Vault VM, which is the first thing to boot. And then it does the Samba connections and then provides the correct permissions for the LXCs, which is the major issue because LXCs are unprivileged. And unless you're willing to jump through a lot of other hoops, you can't get them to write.
Why are you using Samba instead of NFS?
Because I haven't been able to get the NFS to work correctly yet, and I would still have the same problem. And NFS does remove a little bit of overhead and make things a little bit faster, but not by much.
More secure.
It's more secure, but you know, I would worry about that if I were putting my Samba share, you know, available to the rest of the world.
Oh, okay. It's all internal.
It's all internal. Nothing external will be accessing them directly, except, well, okay, Plex can see them, which will be accessible externally. And then once I'm finished moving everything over and I'm sure that it's all set up, I'm going to also be running Jellyfin because I want to set that up and give that a proper test. And I have a couple of people that like access to my media library that prefer not to use Plex. And I can understand why, considering their stance on you needing a pass now to be able to do anything worthwhile.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they want you to pay in order to share shit, essentially. Yeah. So
I thought that was just on like the mobile app or any of the apps, because I'm pretty sure I can still do stuff over the if I go directly just over the web. I can still watch stuff, but I can't if I try to use...
Now, is that going to Plex.tv or is that going directly to your network? See, I don't know from my end because everything I use has a VPN back to my house, and so it all thinks I'm on my home network anyway.
I think Plex.tv.
Okay.
Because I don't have Plex and set up anywhere, so I'm not...
You don't have a pass or anything?
No, I never paid for Plex.
Then I don't know exactly what the hell they're doing.
Because I can, so if I go straight on a web browser, I believe I can go on and actually watch stuff. Because I think I've done that before. But if I go through any sort of an app, whether it's phone or Fire Stick or tablet, it won't let me watch or download or anything.
Okay.
Now I haven't tested downloading. I've only tested watching.
Yeah, I don't know what all the new rules are because I paid for this a long time ago. Because they were pretty open at the time, you know, and I paid for the lifetime pass because support the apps that you use.
Right.
So, but I know my dad's paying monthly for Plex.
Really?
Yeah.
How much is it monthly?
I don't know. But it gives him access to, well... They're able. I don't know how my stepmom was convinced to start paying for it. I don't know that because they shouldn't have had to at the time that they started doing it. But they still have access to be able to stream all of my stuff, which is what they wanted. But then I know my sister's husband also streams my stuff, and I don't know if he's paid for Plex or not. But yeah, I already told you about the Nintendo Switch OLED. She's very pretty. Very pretty.
Very nice.
Yeah. Zelda edition. Currently charging.
We got the Switch for the kids, and I think it's a nice piece of hardware, but that whole licensing things we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
It kind of applies even with the regular the regular Switch. I mean, we've tried taking it on trips, and if it doesn't have a chance to call back home, if it doesn't have Wi-Fi, then it sometimes just doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah. I think that's only if we shut it down. I think if it was connected first and we just left it on, just kind of put it to sleep, it would work that way. But I don't know. It was a pain in the fucking ass, because half the reason why we got them for the kids is for like the long trips and stuff, and the fact that it didn't fucking work, and it wants to call home even for things that you had, like you were saying, that you have a cartridge for, it wouldn't play because it still wants to call home. It's just fucking annoying.
Yeah, unless, well, with the Switch 1, I know that the. You can mod both the OLED and the non-OLED, but the OLED is a hardware mod, and a lot of the non-OLEDs are software mods, and make it do whatever the hell you want. Play whatever games, watch videos, things like that. So, can you not even, like, go to just a website and stream a video with a Switch?
There's no browser, as far as I know.
I've never actually run anything on a goddamn Switch, so I don't know.
I just play the games. You stick a cartridge in, or you download a game from their store. But I've never... There's no browser available on there that I remember.
Is there a game called Plex?
I don't think so.
Or Jellyfin?
I don't think so. I can check the... No, it doesn't have, like, apps. It just has games, I'm pretty sure.
But you can download shit straight from the store, so I don't know that either.
Nintendo Store... No, there's no, like, game... There's no, like, apps on it. It's just games.
Okay. So, yeah, I find that annoying. I mean, you should be able to watch a video on it.
I don't even care about watching a video. I just want to be able to play the game and not be on... when I'm not on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah, if I have a cartridge, then why?
Right.
But it doesn't work that way anymore.
Yep. But I like the Steam Deck. Some things want to call home, but you can still play it offline. Are you still using yours?
Using my what?
Steam Deck.
Yeah. Yeah, the only... like, Borderlands 4 came out, and I'm really glad I didn't buy it early and be disappointed. Because the game seems to be awesome, but have you seen all the shit that's going around about how it won't play on frickin' PC worth a damn right now? Unless you got, like, top-end hardware?
Sounds like the same thing that happened when, Cyberpunk came out.
Yeah, it's just not optimized yet for PC. A patch came out that's supposed to make it a little bit better, like, today. I haven't seen anything on that yet, but... It is evidently unplayable on the Steam Deck, and I don't feel like buying a 5090 to put into my garage PC so I can stream it somewhere.
Right. Well, my thing is, with the Borderland games and the Borderland-like games, is a lot of it's kind of the same thing. And if I want to play that, I have Borderlands. Borderlands 2 I got for free.
Love Borderlands 2 still.
They gave it, Steam just gave it to me for free for some reason. It was free. So I got that. I got Borderlands 3 if I wanted to play it. I have the original Borderlands. I got the Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is very Borderlands-esque. So, I mean, if I want to play something, I'll play all that stuff first before I go trying to get something new.
Well, I've played all the other ones. I want to play Borderlands 4.
Have you played Tiny Tina's Wonderland?
I have not played Tiny Tina's Wonderlands yet.
It's basically the same idea.
Yeah,
it's very looter shooter where I spend most of my time, picking up weapons, selling weapons, looking at them, going, which one of these do I want to? I spent way too much time going, okay, I just got a shit ton of weapons that just filled my entire inventory. Now, which one of these do I want to keep? Look, I just collected a bunch more.
Yeah, my understanding was that the gameplay was very much Borderlands 3, and that there wasn't a whole lot of replayability, and there was like one or two builds that you could do, and then even like the side stuff and the stuff that they added just wasn't very good, which is, I had waited to see what people... Yeah, I waited on that one too, and I never got it. Now, I am planning on eventually getting Borderlands 4. I'm just hoping that they optimize it well enough that it actually works on hardware that I have, because I don't feel like spending a couple of grand to get hardware that'll play it.
Right. Yeah, there's no reason to buy hardware to play a game.
Yep.
I don't know. I enjoyed Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
So,
like they put it on sale a couple of times. If it goes on sale, I advise getting it.
I'm reading this, and it says that there is a Switch web browser.
Really?
You need to access the hidden web browser on your Nintendo Switch.
Oh.
To watch play, you need to access the hidden web browser on your Nintendo Switch. You can also use a screen mirror app to cast your smartphone screen with Plex to your Nintendo screen. Why would you do that? That's dumb. Just watch it on your damn phone.
Right? How small is your phone that the Switch screen is going to be that much of a difference?
Using the hidden web browser.
Hidden web browser.
So how do you get to the hidden... How on your Nintendo Switch dashboard, select System Settings. Do you have your Switch handy?
No.
Mine, I'm not even logged into. System Settings, select the Internet option and tap on Internet Settings. Now select the Wi-Fi network you have connected to your device. Navigate to the option Change Settings and go to the DNS Settings. Toggle the DNS settings from automation to manual. Now go to the primary DNS and enter blah, 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 and tap on save. Why would that do anything? Press OK on the screen. Go to the previous screen and select collect to this network. Click next and you will be moved to the SwitchBrew DNS page. Now select the option continue to Google.
I had to change some DNS settings just so my daughter can play on the use the Switch to play on our local network Minecraft server. And for me to play, I purchased Minecraft on the Google Play Store and had it so I got it set up on the Switch, so the Steam Deck, so it'll play on that. It's using the, goddammit, I forgot what the hell it's called, where it emulates, or it can play, it can do Android apps on Linux. Oh, Waydroid. It uses Waydroid. Oh, it's kind of nice. I got it set up. It works really well. I got it set up so I can start it from the Steam and actually play with my kids on the home server. So you're working on anything else? You been printing anything?
Not much. I mean, carabiners. Printed out some carabiners that are supposed to be rated for like 200 pounds. I think I'm printing out different cup holder. This one is to hold my Stanley cups, and it goes into a nice modular mount on the side of my chair. But I want one that is for regular cups, doesn't have a giant hole in the bottom, so I can sometimes put some crap in that.
Right.
And then these also fit onto them, and they're great for headphones and controllers. So it's a nice modular clamp-on desk system where I modified some of the SPLs so I could do things like screw them out right in my chair or into a wall.
Nice.
Headphone hangers, which, yeah, always. Like I said, I've been working on a couple of different sets of the Arctis. I like the sound quality. I can 3D print the entire outer shell, and I needed to for this one because it was completely broken. The only thing that's really kind of had me messed up is there's a split ring that's supposed to go on here, and I didn't have the tool for it until a day to do it right. And it just, I guess after a while, the wire fix that I had for it came undone. And it bugs me that this side broke. You can't see it, the black on black, broke way too easy. Hanging. So that leaves pressure on the earpiece right there where it breaks the entire time because it's the only spot that it's hooked up in. So these headphones should not just be left hanging somewhere unless you're willing to put in the work to replace the new one printed for the other side. But when I did this side, it was 13 no no was a little.
Is it just me or is Joe's audio even worse?
My audio even worse?
Yeah, you just talked for like a good solid minute there, and I heard that about the you can't hang those up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Is that better?
Hopefully.
Okay. But yeah, you can't leave these hanging because it puts pressure just in that one spot.
Yep.
And eventually it cracks it. So unless you're willing to get a 3D printer and print out the whole thing like I did with this side, and then you have the put that on there proper, and then, willing to do both sides. Like I said, 11 solder joins on this side. I don't know how many yet on this side. But, it's a lot more work than I think it's actually worth for the headset. I mean, I can get them as low as like $30 used with broken plastic, et cetera, et cetera. But, it's still a lot of work and a lot of specialty tools because you also need the specialty screwdriver, the safety bit screwdriver, in order to be able to take the ear cups apart. So, yeah. I mean, and even being able to get them cheap, I have this other set of Arctis 9s that has it's not a filter, but it's got a solder on component that's gone bad that makes it so that you can't actually power it on. And that is replaceable if you're really good with a soldering iron in really tiny spaces and you can get the part. And then I have an Arctis 7 where something is wrong and the mic is not actually passing data through. Unless I tap. Like the board, not the microphone, the board. If I tap the board, something goes through. If I tap the microphone, nothing happens. So I can't track down where the short is or what's going on with that thing or if the microphone's just bad. And I would need another microphone to be able to test. And I don't have one. So it's dead for now. 9 is also dead for now. But I do like the 9Xs. I have two of them back together and one that's in perfect condition that I leave in a case and I take to work.
Joey, you sound like Max Hedron or something.
I like my headsets.
You're Cyloning.
Your voice is like goes in and out and then has all this crazy static. And
fucking fuck!
Sounds like you're in Antarctica in a snowstorm trying to communicate with this.
You suck. All right. Last try. I'm going to switch to the wired headset, and we're going to see how that sounds.
Actually, you've got 1,000 headsets. One of these has to work.
Right?
I've got a bunch, but I told you, like the Razer Naris, all of the USBs went out at the same time on those. I kind of gave up on the entire line because of that.
That's crazy.
And then I have a crap ton of Bluetooth ones.
You just use them so much that they just go out, or what?
Hold on.
How long have you had your headphones, Honky? The ones you're using now.
The Logitech ones I got here. I don't know. 3 years.
Probably had this set for about 5 years. Still working fine. It's cheap,
all right.
Too.
How do I sound?
Sound great.
Yeah.
This is the Arctis that hopefully will stay clamped on my head, but it's the one that's falling apart that I need to completely rebuild. I wasn't trying to use it tonight because of that. But this is one of the reasons that I like this and use it at work. The other one that's in perfect condition at work is because they do sound good. They don't get as loud as the Naris, like the headset portion, but the microphone works well.
Yeah, it sounds good. So,
how did your presentation go?
Really well. I mean, I had plenty of time to, you know, prepare what I wanted in my notes, which, you know, I explained to these guys, you're probably going to want me to be talking for more of this because I simply have more experience on this side of the camera.
So I got told afterwards that it went really well and that I did a good job.
Oh, good.
Always, presenting.
Always good to hear.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear the opposite.
Right?
Yeah, it was a shit show and I sucked.
But you don't want to hear.
How's your new job going?
Mine?
Yeah.
I've been so busy, man. So busy. We're understaffed, but I guess everybody is.
Hmm.
You know, I think the beginning of the year, they're going to hire a lot more people, so that will be nice if that's true. Yeah, I just try to do my best I can do. If they don't like it, then they can just fire me. And you make mistakes, lots of mistakes in the beginning, and then gradually get better. Oh, I do have some projects to talk about. So I've been working on the printer, the Ender 3 Pro. I have the last night I compiled the new Marlin firmware for the printer because I had to include the CR Touch, which in the firmware it's a BL Touch, same thing, and the probe to probe the bed, and then I had to measure the offsets between the probe and the print head's in a different position now because of the using the all metal hot end. So I got that done, loaded the firmware on there, and it seems to be, everything seems to be seeing it. Ocrit is connected with the little Orange Pi Zero Bus 2, I think it's called. And so my next step will be to print a parts cooling fan bracket with PETG. Because I don't have any parts cooling on there right now, and I don't have a way to attach a bracket either, or a way to attach a fan. I need a bracket, so that'll probably be the first thing I print, or else I can't print any PLA. So that's where I'm at with that. My AliExpress ice cream maker came in, and I haven't tried it yet. It just came in today. I don't know if you guys remember when I ordered that. Was that a couple months ago or something? Been a long time.
It hasn't been that long. I mean, we were talking about it, not last show? So, yeah, I guess a month. It's been a month.
Yeah, it came in today, and I just got the box. It doesn't have, like, a brand name on it or anything. But it's so the pictures that they showed me of what I bought was, like, just, like, shows a bunch of like light beams and arrows and things like that. It doesn't look like an ice cream maker, so I wasn't sure exactly what I was getting. But it turns out it's like a real ice cream maker. Like you plug it in and it mixes the ice cream and stuff. So I don't know. I haven't tried it. I just took it out of the box today. Maybe this weekend I'll get a chance to try it out. And then I think I showed you guys a sample of that little Gachapon server rack, little tiny toy server rack. Comes with all the little components you have to assemble and stuff. So I'm excited about putting that together. It's 12 different pieces, or 12 different, like one part is the actual rack, one part is the battery backup, and then like a RAID storage array and stuff like that. But it's only like 1, 2, maybe 3 or 4 inches tall. It's cool.
I don't know if you guys have I've seen that on AliExpress.
Yeah, I got it for my birthday this past week. My girlfriend got it for me, which I only mentioned it once. I showed her a picture like months ago. I'm surprised she remembered that. And I got a game, too, called Croconole. You guys ever heard of that? Croconole?
Croconole?
Mm-hmm.
Is that board or video?
It's a board game, but now it's like a. If you look it up, like look up the spell C R O K I N O L E. Apparently, it's been around since the late 1800s, but it's a like a wooden board with different scoring areas on it, and it's got these wooden bumpers in the middle, and then a hole in the middle, and you get these wooden discs, and you try to hit inside the High Points area, and they apparently they have Crokinole World Championships matches and all this other stuff. I never even heard of the game, but I got that. We played it a little bit. It's a lot of fun. I think you play it with two players or four players. It's kind of like a mix between air hockey and, oh, you remember the, you'd play the paper football where you thump the little football, try to make a field goal and stuff.
Just oh, like yeah.
A Crokinole. So that's pretty cool.
Board looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a lot of fun. I mean, it's harder than you think. So the first person that shoots there, you get, each person gets 8 discs if you're playing two people game, and then the first person tries to get as close to the hole or in the hole as they can, and then the next person, their shot has to hit your disc, and when it's your turn, your shot has to hit their disc, and so on and so on, so like that. So if it's to be a valid shot, once you start playing it, it's the rules come pretty easy. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'd recommend it. Be fun to play with your kids. A lot of Linux stuff. I'm still working on this image for that little Lychee Pi Nano with the 32 megabytes of
test
storage. We hear you.
All right. That was annoying.
Were you muted or what?
My other headset decided to disconnect and reconnect, which made it primary.
I see.
And then the microphone on this one decided that it didn't like that, so it quit working for a minute.
So I'm still working on trying to create a Linux image for that little Lychee Pi Nano. I'm using Alpine. I built the kernel, but it's not booting. I can't figure out why. I'm building it in Alpine too. And it's so stripped down, I'm sure there's some shit I'm missing, because it's only gets 16 megabytes of RAM, so I don't know, it's hard. I'm going by all these little different guides on online. Like my friend was like, just tell ChatGPT to do it. So I went to ChatGPT, and it's like telling them what I'm doing, and it just output a bunch of gibberish, bunch of straight up fucking garbage. You could tell it wasn't going to work at all. Like, if people are using this tool to code and it can't even build a kernel, fuck, man, we're all in a lot of trouble. It's not there yet, definitely, from what I've seen anyway. Maybe there's some better models for coding, I don't know. Just for building it via the man pages, at least that makes sense to me. What else have I been doing? As far as like virtual stuff, let me pull up my Proxmox. I've been moving stuff to, now that Debian 13 is out, I've been moving stuff to Debian 12, upgrading to Debian 12.
Did you mute yourself, or?
I'm trying to log into my server.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You went quiet and looked like you were talking there.
Oh, I was trying to remember my password.
I thought my headset had screwed up again. I was all looking.
Let's see. I don't think I've... Okay, so yeah, I've just been... Like, most of it, like the Mumble server's on Debian 12 now. It was on Debian 10. Let's see. Jitsi's on Debian 12. PeerTube's on Debian 12. Mastodon's on Debian 12. So, Matrix is... The only one that I'm having trouble with is the mail server, because there's so many fucking moving parts. Trying to upgrade that. That's on 11 right now, but I'm trying to move to 12. And I had to be really careful. And I had to check, you know, it's got DevCon, it's got PostFix, MariaDB, all that shit on there. So... It's not easy. It's definitely not an easy upgrade. Debian 13, I'll probably wait till next year to start updating stuff. Even though Proxmox itself is on Debian 13 now. I upgraded that. Which I'm surprised they moved to so quickly, you know. And that's their stable versions on 13. 9.0.5 is what I'm on right now. As far as other stuff, getting that little Orange Pi 0+2 running was interesting. I was trying to rebuild the image, the kernel for that to include that little camera, this little camera module it came with, and I could never get that camera to work. And reading like forums, Orange Pi forums and stuff, it's like super difficult. And I even used their original, the Orange Pi Debian 10 Buster image. That's Buster, right? Yeah, Buster. And it camera never worked, camera module. So the next thing I want to print, after I print the parts cooling fan bracket, is some little cases for those ESP32 cameras I have. And I'm just going to stream one of those to watch the 3D printer with, what is that called? Like spaghetti vision or spaghetti thing, you know, where it watches out for bad shit happening.
You can't do that with your current setup with Octoprint and a camera?
That's what I'm saying.
Extensions?
The little board that I have is, it came with the camera module. Like, I guess I could plug in a USB camera to it.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if I have one, to be honest. I've got this one that I have on the laptop. I guess I could use that. But really, I kind of want to use one of those little ESP32 cameras, because the board with Octoprint and Docker's running Octoprint, it's only got 512 megabytes of RAM, is already, you know, if I push a print through there, it's already going to be pretty stressed. And then try to put a camera on there as well, it's going to be, it's going to push it to its limits probably. But just adding a stream in Octoprint from another device doesn't really take up any memory. Just the main thing is the memory on it. So I ended up just going with Armbian for that. Debian. For the Orange Pi and print install was really easy. I was surprised. The Docker Compose files only got like a few parameters.
My thing with Octoprint was always that in the middle of a print, it would like lose connection.
Really?
And yeah, it would, and then the print would stop. I had that happen a couple of times.
I haven't had that.
So your
issue.
USB cable sucked.
Something. Either that or just the Pi sucked. Whatever I was running Octoprint on.
I guess it could be, but it had to be something with the USB connection to the machine sucked.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got a good cable going from the Orange Pi to the Ender 3. And I really seriously thought about just getting the Elegoo like Joe has, but then thinking about it and what he said about I've already put all these upgrades into it and stuff. And might as well use it, do my best to get it running.
Well, Hirsch should have a second printer.
Well, he's barely using one. Why are you going to force him to try to convince him to get another one?
Because I think it's hilarious. That it just sits there and collects dust.
I'm gonna get it running, but it's actually, I mean, it's. I think I'm almost ready. If I can get that PETG dialed in, print that cooling bracket, and I got a shit ton of filament, all different kinds, PLA, ABS, PETG, nylon.
Do you have an enclosure
for the printer?
Yeah.
No.
Well, swing by. I'll give you one.
Oh, really? That would be nice.
I have the canvas one that was for my Ender that I never put on it. It's all put together and everything. Well? Yeah, it should keep the heat in. And that's what people use to be able to print like ABS with it.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice. What else? Oh, and I just got that little SSD installed in the Toughbook, Asus Toughbook. I'm running Linux Mint on. Joe will be proud.
I am.
It runs pretty snappy from what I've seen compared to Fedora. I don't even remember what Windows was like on here, if I even ran it. I think I ran Windows once to update the firmware on the laptop itself and then
turned it off and never ran it again.
I had, I can't remember what, I think it was just vanilla Debian I had on here. had all kinds of issues with drivers.
I am seriously considering upgrading my network in my house to 2.5 GB, but I realize it's a money pit.
Because then you'll want to go to 10.
Well, no, because I would have to get, well, it depends on how I did it. I could get an internal NIC with like 4 ports for that one computer that you gave me that's set up in the living room, and then have that, you know, set up a VM and have that control like all my internal network and everything the way I have my router doing it now. And then I would need to get at least one, if not two, unmanaged switches. And then I would need to start getting different cards for each of my devices, you know, my computers. Mm-hmm. So that would be two of the AE adapters to the 2.5 G NICs, and then I would need at least one more PCIe NIC for my garage computer, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. So it's a money pit.
It is a money pit. You know what you could do instead? Has nothing really to do with that, though, but is convert all your networks to IPv6.
Nah, I figured you were going to say run a 10 gig SFP from inside the house to the garage. That would be the only connection that I would need for that. Wow, that camera is bad.
Hey, it's more colorful than my other camera.
That's true. You could probably fix that with settings. I mean, I had to get rid of a bunch of the saturation on mine.
How do you do that?
I can't even remember the crazy ass command. It's in the show notes.
Is it in Jitsi settings? Or?
No.
Look how clear that is.
There are camera settings.
I can actually see you. You're not just the like some washed there. Out black and white.
Let's see.
It's V4 something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, Joe. Yeah.
It's not V4L2. It's not the loopback, but it's V4L2 settings or something.
Okay. Has no settings.
But you gotta do it from the command line. Yeah, V4L utils and V4L2 CTL. You use that, and you can adjust the saturation, and then you have to set up. A command to do it every time you connect your camera.
How hard this is pushing this thing. Oh, it's a dual core. I'm using 50% of the processor. 2.2 gigabytes of 3.8 gigabytes of RAM. I didn't assign any swap. I didn't assign some of the that SSD a swap during install. There's no really way to do it, is there?
Yes.
The whole thing is root.
You can declare a swap partition. I mean, if you're not using that 64 gig eMMC, then you can just set it in settings.
But I can't do that in I can't use part of the SSD as swap is what I'm asking.
You'd have to repartition it. So
that's what I mean.
You'd have to, but you said that your entire drive is on the M.2, right?
Yeah.
So then why not use that 64 gig as a swap?
Oh, because it's eMMC is a lot slower than the...
But
for swap, I'd want something fast. Right?
I don't know. It should be almost as fast as SSD, shouldn't it? And you're probably not using it. Probably it seems like a
I don't even notice the difference, to be honest.
Yeah, it seems like a good use for that.
Yeah. Forgot when I was partitioning it. I completely forgot about swap. No, I'm going to need it with only 4 gigs of RAM. 3.8 gigs of usable RAM. Well, I can do that later. It's mainly just a test to see how it runs. It's not too bad. Heavy. See if it'll wake from sleep. Most of them won't. Yeah. Did. Telling you, Hunky, you ought to get you one of these.
Not a bad idea.
Can't really think of any other projects. I've been riding bikes, playing tennis. We've been playing tennis on Tuesdays. You want to talk about the movie?
Well, yeah. Netminder, have you been doing anything? Netminder? It's done. Well, I've been working on stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Well, I found the old little chip computer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so
$5 computer?
What's that?
Was it for like $5 computer or something?
Yep. So I found out, I put some of the links in the show notes, but I found a way to be able to reflash it, because for the longest time I wasn't able to do anything with it. So I found a way to reflash it. One of the ways to do it is you have to basically set yourself up with an older version of... Let's see if this page will load. Where is it?
You have to use UART?
Well, yeah, no, there's an older version of the not down appropriate Android platform tools. So, there it is. All right. Let's move this up, please. So you had to use basically to use there's a script to reflash it, and I wonder if I put the script in the show notes. But for to be able to get that to work, you have to use an older version of Fastboot and the it's Android flashing tools and stuff. So oh, yeah. I downloaded the older version of those tools, and I've now been able to flash the chip. And since then, I've been trying to. So you also have to repoint one of the repositories to a community repository, because they originally it was Next Thing had their own repository, a Debian repository. So now there's a community repository. So you can point that, but that's for Jesse, Debian Jesse. So I. Yeah. I gotta. Right, you have to like completely redo your sources.list to the archive. I got the list of all the sources.list in the show notes too. So you have to redo your sources.list, because now it's just for Jesse. It's just 2 lines. It's as opposed to the 3. So you do that. You keep the extra line for the community repository, and you can update from there. So what I wound up doing was I actually on Sunday I got it working, got it on. I tried using the desktop version, and the desktop version was just crapping out way too much. The screen would shut off every once in a while. I mean, it was workable before, so I'm not sure what the issue is, whether it's just a power issue with whatever. Like, I'm actually using the chip power supply, that little brick that it came with. And it's still crapping out every couple of seconds. So that's why I figured I would use it. So if I can get it working, my plan is to put and now I forget the name of the software. I want to hook a camera up to it and use something to be able to monitor my... Yeah, that is MotionEye. Use MotionEye to just hook a, you know, my camera up to it and watch my prints. So I actually on Sunday I was able to step it up from all the way from Jesse up to Trixie, and really? It was running at the time. And then I was just kind of done for the day, so I unplugged it. And then when I plugged it back in and it started trying to run it, it just wouldn't fucking boot at all. So now I just reflashed it again, and I'm going to, I'm not sure if I'm going to march it all the way from up to Trixie, but I might move it up a bit. The thing with last time I looked at trying to install MotionEye, it actually even had, because part of the way you, the way it's installed is through pip, and I believe it had, the first time I looked it up, it had instructions on how to install it on pip using Python 2.7. So I might just keep it on Jesse and see if I can get it installed that way. If not, I'll get it to a point where I can get the newer version of Python and then see if I can get it from there.
I wouldn't even use MotionEye. I would just use regular Motion. That'll give
Motion?
You a, yeah, that'll give you a URL, a streaming URL at least, but it won't have all the overhead of MotionEye.
So part of MotionEye is installing Motion.
Yeah, just use Motion.
All right.
It's way less resources.
All right, I'll try that. That's all I want is a URL.
Yeah, that's what it'll give you. It'll give you two. You can use one for snapshots and then one for streaming video.
Okay.
And you don't have to worry about FFmpeg or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, what's the chip on the chip? Is it just an ARM 32-bit chip or what?
Oh, I don't remember. It has been a long time. Let's take a look.
The Debian image, is it ARMHF?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably it. ARM 32-bit. That's like the original Raspberry Pi.
You're going to have to stay with Bookworm. Because Debian's dropping 32-bit.
Well, it's not 32-bit anyways, so... I got it up to Trixie. Let's see, it is... CPU is 1 gig, ARMv7, memory is 512, DDR3, storage is 48 gigs onboard storage.
Onboard?
Yeah.
48 gigs?
No, 8 gigs. 4 to 8. Not 4 to 8.
Okay. So, no. So it's, what did you say? It's 512.
512 RAM. Memory? Yeah. Yep.
And that's for a $5 computer?
Yeah.
That's cheap, man, for that much RAM.
Now you just have to find out whether it's a 64-bit chip.
All right, it's a 32-bit. It got to be.
Probably. That if old ARMv7, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like running the first Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Well, the first Raspberry Pi wasn't ARMv7. That was ARMv6, wasn't it?
I don't know, but I know it was ARMHF, 32-bit ARM.
You may want to look carefully at whether Debian is going to support that chip.
Yep. I don't plan to do much updates to it.
I'm just saying, you may have to stay on Bookworm on Debian 12, which will support 32-bit.
Yeah, you just need a video stream, right?
Yeah. That's the plan for it.
Trixie, I'm just saying, Trixie is 64-bit only from I've been checking. So trying to run it on a 32-bit would give you the kind of headaches that you're seeing.
Well... What was weird was it would boot and then it would show that it had an issue with the Wi-Fi chip, and then it would just not, it would just stall after that. And then, but I got it to like boot into a screen before, and I tried doing an app update, and it would just, the whole thing would crash. I tried a ping, and I was able to ping Google without it working. So it was, I did somehow get it to boot up and actually have the Wi-Fi working. But I would do like apt update, and it would just crash. So yeah, my plan right now is just to see what I can do with Jesse, and then maybe kind of move it up from there. But I was just shocked I was actually able to get it to do something with it. I thought that thing was just completely dead. Because the old array that you were supposed to update, well, not update, but do the to install the operating system was through some like weird web interface thing. And they had come out with a community version of that, but I couldn't get that to work at all before. But this version, what I found actually worked. So the command line one and using older version of the Android tools.
Nice.
So I've gotten it to work. Hopefully I'll get to be able to get do something with it. We'll see. Other than that, I've been doing some 3D printing. I finished up my hex storage bins. And I've been playing around with making the articulating animals for my kids. So now I've made them, but they've kind of turned out kind of stringy, and I've had to do a lot of post-processing with them, with trying to sand them down and clean them up afterwards. So now I'm trying to figure out how to slow it down, reduce the stringing on it, and just kind of dial it in a little bit. My part fan was just, instead of shooting at the part, it was shooting at the print nozzle itself. So I printed out one of these, which I'm trying to get it set up right. Hold on, I'll show you.
But he's hiding behind Joe.
Yeah. Printed up one of these where it's like that, and it goes on to it. So my thing right now is this thing is almost sitting on top of the block, the heat block. So I gotta try to figure out how to get it so it's not either A, I'm going to have to reprint it and just kind of move it down just a hair. But I don't want to get it too far down because I don't want it lower than the print nozzle itself.
Like Joe's got a little articulated print there.
Oh yeah, is that the dragon?
Yeah, that's the dragon.
Pretty I did cool. An octopus, an axolotl, and I did a Mario. They're not very. I also used the. I have a bronze silk PLA, and I think I just had it way too hot because it was really, really, really stringy. And again, I want to play around with it. I got some nice glow in the dark PLA that I want to play around with. Maybe make something.
I'm guessing you're having problems with all of this,
but.
What are those cans? Oh, IPA.
Oh, these?
Hazy IPA.
Yeah, Sierra Nevada, Hazy Little Thing IPA. That's what I'm drinking tonight. I tend to switch between IPAs and stouts.
I don't know what it is about those little bitty computers. I just love messing with them and playing with them. It's like...
Right. It's
just fun, you know, and just having a tiny little PC that basically like a laptop or desktop.
Well, one of the things that I like about the Freedom Box is, according to the specs, all of my Pi 4s exceed the basic Freedom Box hardware, and their you can get an image that you just flash to a USB stick or a USB SSD and Bob's your uncle. So I don't have to mess with it. I don't have to hack with Debian to get it up, and I can just turn as many of my little of my Pi 4s into standalone servers from out of the gate, which I'm really really happy about. And it seems to be a little more friendly than something like Open Media Vault.
Now, what are you currently doing with your Pi-4s?
Not much at the moment. I've been dealing with more desktop-oriented machines, but I may, if I can make servers out of the Pi-4s easily, I will mess with them more over the winter.
Have you been messing with those little 1-liter PCs like HP gave us, like Lovecraft gave us?
I have been using them, and I've got a couple of HP thin clients, which I may also put up, especially when I take memory out of my 1-liter that I'm planning on upgrading, and then I'll put it into the HP thin client and give them something like 16 gigs of RAM, which is going to be nice and fat for the 2 gigahertz AMD processor. Give me plenty of room for my web browsing and stuff like that.
So have you just kind of like powered down the big desktops you got and just using the small ones now?
Yeah, I've decommissioned the desktops. I've even got a desktop upstairs that I built and I haven't used because of its power hungry.
Put out heat too?
I suspect so. I haven't really had it running to tell, but it's a ThinkCenter tower. Can get more bang for my buck out of the 1-liters than I can out of that big tower.
Less with power.
With a similar processor. I also have a small form factor HP Elite desk that I may fill out the RAM in it, bringing it up to like 24 gig or something, and use it for a Proxmox machine.
When are you going to start doing all that stuff?
Well, I'm going to be working on it over the winter, probably. Got to take care of some stuff around the house. Start buttoning up.
Getting ready for winter time?
Yes. Also, I'm going to be thinking about upping the RAM in some of the i7 systems, especially the ones that Lovecraft sent me.
You gonna put Windows 11 on them?
No, these are not Windows 11 capable officially, and I'm very happy with that.
All right, now do we want to talk about the movie?
Sure.
I'm down.
Rush and Buster.
Yeah. The latest movie was Circuitry Man. Anyone want to go through a general? What was the general? What was the IMDb description of it?
I can give a synopsis of it.
All right.
So it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic movie where pollution, I guess, has ravaged the earth, causing everybody to move underground. And the kind of theme is that people are, I guess you would call it kind of Blade Runner-esque, where lots of cybernetic enhancements and people plug in by connecting chips to their different ports and stuff, like even to drive a vehicle, you're plugged into it, and And so you got kind of that cyberpunk feel. It actually did remind me a lot of a bunch of the movies we've watched in the past with post-apocalyptic stuff going on, and not too many CGI graphics, really. Except towards the end, very end.
No, it was practical stuff mostly.
Yeah, mostly practical stuff. And so there's a woman who is was a bodyguard, and she's kind of retired, but her old boss comes and says there's one last job she wants her to work for her for.
And convinced her by not paying her retirement.
Yeah, her pension or whatever. So she has to go work for this underground, underworld boss, protecting her during a chip exchange where they had a bunch of these tiny chip computers like what Honky has, $5 chip computers running Debian Linux on them. Now, I guess there's some, it's like a digital drug, I guess. Is that what they are?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like some sensory crap or something like that.
And like, it but they were so pure, you could make 1,000 copies from each one. And whatever that means, it makes zero sense. So the deal kind of goes bad when the cops show up and they undercover, and so everybody runs, and there's the one who originally delivered the chips is a synthetic humanoid, not an android really, is he? Or just, is he an android?
He's Romeo? They said synthetic.
Yeah.
They didn't really, you know, the only time you saw his innards per se was in a dream sequence.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was actually, if he was actually wires and stuff, or just like whatever the replicants were in Blade Runner, you know. But anyway, so the deal goes wrong, and the woman bodyguard runs away with the android, and they kind of go on an adventure. Where are they going?
New York.
Yeah, to sell the chips that she ended up getting from Plughead. Plughead is the main antagonist of the movie. He has all these weird
ports. Man, this movie was all over the place.
Ports on his head that he can plug in different chips and stuff like that. So the movie is basically a chase scene between Plughead and the bodyguard and her android kind of lover. So that's kind of the outline. And they move from the underworld to the overworld, which is all desert.
You can't breathe the air.
Yeah, you can't. You gotta have oxygen. Oxygen is a big form of currency as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is kind of like right up my alley as far as this type of 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Kind of post-apocalyptic / film noir tech oriented movie, but I just feel like it didn't really quite deliver on the promise of the DVD box cover, you know, he is kind of the main draw is Plughead, which is the villain. He's pretty cool looking, actually. That's probably the coolest part of the movie.
Yeah, him.
But what did you guys think? I thought it was okay. I mean, for a Tubi movie, it's not
bad. Okay. The acting, when this movie opened up, was complete hot garbage.
I can't argue with that. Yeah.
I will say the acting improved slightly throughout the whole thing, but not by much. And, this movie was all over the place. Okay, there's this giant underground thing that they have to go through that takes them from, like, L.A. to Denver, and then they have to drive
are they have to access sewers to go the rest of the way, but then before they even get to Denver, for some reason they have to be above ground because they're being chased, and they have to drive through a fake wall.
Yeah, what's up with that fake wall?
Yeah, and then there was these slugs, sewer slugs or whatever.
Yep.
They had venom in them.
Yeah, that you could boil and eat, though.
Yeah. Boil the poison out.
But, and then Plughead towards the end says it was never about the chips. It was about, you know, the girl. And then it was about the girl. It was about getting the girl. That's what he said.
Who wanted to be a fashion designer.
Yeah, who wanted to be a fashion designer, but was a retired bodyguard.
As a bodyguard, she was really kind of shitty.
Yeah. And then there was the other girl bodyguard that was, like, randomly groping people.
Right.
Like, you think I'm joking there. No, she was, like, jerking off her boyfriend in public type of thing. Not even in the movie theater, like some people, but, you know.
And then she latched on to the weird guy at the end. Plughead.
Because she thought he had the chips.
Then she latched on to the weird guy.
The slug eater. Because she thought he had the chips.
But and the chips case was actually, empty, right?
The girl had the chips in her hand, and she just like, most valuable thing ever, and she needed money for blah, blah, blah. She just drops them and goes off into the sunset with the pleasure droid.
Pleasure
synth.
Yeah.
The Romeo.
And I don't think you mentioned that his brain had been reprogrammed, so he thought he lost the love of his life, and that's why he was willing to help people until he found out. And then he just fell in love with the girl. This movie was everywhere, but on target. I'm sorry.
Redefines Hot Mess, and that's a hard thing to do with one of our movies.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great.
See, the movie did one thing that a lot of the other movies that we really hated didn't do. It had a beginning, it had a middle, and it had an end.
Right.
But did it have an end? Because there is really a part two.
There is a sequel.
Oh, God.
But there's a lot of crappy movies that have sequels.
Yeah. Return of Plughead.
I mean, Dawn the Dragon Wilson. That's all I'm going to say there.
Right? Yeah. At least it didn't have Dawn the Dragon Wilson in it.
What do you mean,
although
at least it didn't?
He'd have made a really... He'd have done the droid really well.
What are you trying to say?
The synth.
No, the sex droid?
Yeah, he'd have done it real well.
No, he's the leading man, for sure.
He'd have been the bodyguard. Man. The bodyguard. Fashion designer.
he wants to be a fashion designer.
I thought it was good. I mean, I was expecting something like, what was the movie we saw with the kid from Terminator in it?
Lawnmower Man?
No. And the villain, the digital villain.
Brain Scan,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that movie. And I thought it was going to be as far out there as that, but really it was pretty reserved for what they could have done. You know, it could have been a lot more violent, a lot crazier, and they just didn't go for that.
I don't know. Plughead could have been cooler.
Definitely cooler.
There was no fucking plot, and there was no, like,
the plot
real
wasn't
story.
The plot.
Yeah.
And every time you thought you knew the plot, it changed.
So it started by what? So the beginning of the movie, it starts off with the girl who was formerly a bodyguard, basically getting caught right away, and, you know, just some guy like seducing her, and then just being tying her up so that that she can be convinced to be a bodyguard again.
Right.
And it was the whole writing for all of that was, so she's supposed to be a badass bodyguard, yet she gets seduced and.
No, her boyfriend, supposedly at the time, ties her up And, you know, it looks like it's going to be some kinky play, and she's liking it. And then he's like, I'm sorry about this, and turns around and walks away. And that's when another bodyguard walks in with her boyfriend and some other dude.
They set her up.
It was just bad acting, bad story. It was essentially just like you said. It was like a late 80s, early 90s sci-fi movie.
That it's was like they threw all these tropes together for the sake of throwing them together. And like I said, I'm concerned that this movie is going to get the sign off and get thumbs up from everybody because it's not Gunhead.
I understand your concern. I can't give it a thumbs up. I mean, because it just didn't live up to my expectations.
I can't give it a thumbs down.
No.
Because
it's not garbage, but I sure as shit can't give it a thumbs up.
1.5 stars.
Yes.
I'm just happy I was able to crank it up to 2x.
Right? I think I was only did 1.5.
I just watched it on Tubi. Or on PeerTube.
I watched it on PeerTube at 1.5. Yeah, I don't think I could watch that 1x. I don't think I could have made it.
Fine. Being worse.
Yes.
No, that's well, not saying much.
Bikini Hackers.
That one's real bad.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for
being entertaining.
Getting ready to close the show. Before 11:30, I have someone that I have to meet on another medium any time now. So I would appreciate you picking the next film masterpiece or monster piece, whichever it may be, so that we can close the show at an almost reasonable hour.
Where else do you have to be? Where are you going? Who's this? Who's taking your attention away from us? We're your real friends.
Someone who doesn't have to shave their face.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, you're right to leave then. Well, I just ran the movie picker, and it's Megan 2.0.
Is that even officially out yet?
I don't know.
I mean, is it available for streaming?
Not that I know of.
It's too new, I think.
Really? You need to take stuff off the list that you can't see yet. It has a rating. Let's see. You can rent or buy it on Prime Video, so it must be out.
If you can rent or buy it, it must be available.
Yeah. Let me go to that link. If I go to Amazon. Yeah, it's out.
Oh boy. Because Megan 1 was awesome.
Let's see.
We needed a sequel.
Oh, we got a sequel.
The Megan dance was awesome.
The Megan dance was awesome?
Yeah, it was actually, you know, a thing for a while. The dance she did in the first movie.
So was the dance in the Wednesday movie. It doesn't mean that it's actually good. It's my movie show.
What, Wednesday? Wednesday's awesome.
Wednesday is awesome.
Shut your mouth.
But the dance is stupid.
Bughead Rewired Circuitry Man 2.
What was the name of the arcade one that we watched?
They would just call it Arcade, right?
There you go. We need a sequel
of that. The 1980s one?
Yes. Like late 70s, early 80s.
Or there was one from 93. Oh, no, you're talking about joysticks.
That's it.
That was a good one.
We need a sequel to that.
Yeah, we did see Arcade, though. That was the
Wasn't that the Nintendo movie?
Charles Band one. It was a horror movie with the VR game. Remember that? Where those two kids go in the... It had Seth... Was it Seth Green or...
What was that movie where they introduced the Nintendo glove?
Oh, the Wiz?
Power Glove?
Power Glove?
The Wiz. Yeah.
Yeah, the Wiz.
The Wiz. Yeah.
Now, was Fred Savage in that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Fred Savage's like little brother or something who was on the gaming circuit. All right. Do we have anything else? Or are we closing it down?
I would like to talk more. I'm just so tired. Oh, it's been a long week.
It happens. It has been a long, long week. My allergies have tried to murder me.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm just too tired to talk about it. I'll have to make sure I'm re-energized. I even drank some coffee and I'm still tired.
All right, so we're shutting it down?
What? Is there anything you want to talk about? I do need to jump on this, getting the rest of those videos out.
I got to do that one.
Yeah, I really want to get caught up. I'd like to find some time to get caught up. I've got the next one queued up. I just need to cut it up. Oh, should I look if we have any feedback?
Yeah, we should.
YouTube.com. To find videos. Really? Well, we haven't posted anything either. Got some new subscribers. I don't know. Not really any feedback. That's that.
Okay.
I know we're gonna get a million comments on the next uploaded video with just Joe as the center of attention.
Of course.
Why am I the center of attention on the next one?
Because you didn't do, you didn't record it properly.
Yeah, it's just your face. Oh. On the, it's all a video of you, and then everybody else is a tiny square on the right side.
Good. That's the way it should be. All Joe's beard, all the time.
That's it. What did they say about your beard? It's
so ridiculous.
Because beard is ridiculous.
All right. Guess we can close this down. Our next recording date will be October 3rd, 2025. Our music is Downright provided by Cloud 2 and Brome. I'd like to thank Minix for the Mumble server and pretty much all the servers that we use. I've been your host this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Joe.
Good night,
Minix.
Good night, everybody. Sorry, I'm so tired. Hopefully next show we'll all be more energetic.
And Netminer.
Good night, and hello, Buster and Jackie and all of the Miss Littles.
Yeah, Buster says good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, you give somebody a beautiful wife and they get all kinds of distracted.
Said they're in Kentucky right now.
Seeing Guar again.
Maybe. Messing with this little $99 laptop.
Oh, yeah? Where'd you get that?
Micro Center, long time ago. And had a 64 gigabyte eMMC in it. And I put a 512 gigabyte NVMe in it. Put Fedora on there, but it was having problems. A little bit powered. Got a Celeron in it. I don't know what kind. Then I put Linux Mint on there. Doing better.
Nice.
But it's like one of those Asus Tough Books. Got like a rubberized coating, and it's grippy. I think it was originally supposed to be a Chromebook for students or something.
What was it, refurbished?
Maybe. I can't. It's been so long since I bought it. Found it the other day. I was cleaning it out under my bed, and this thing is shot.
Well, the Tough Books are also used for everything from police to whatever, you know. That's what they're for. Outdoor / military, almost military ruggedness.
Like a real grippy case and then rubber bumpers on the outside. Only got, I believe, 4 gigabytes of RAM. Not going to be running Windows 11 on it.
No. I love to find like a small netbook.
It's almost that. It's an 11-inch screen.
I look for like a small, like a cheap Chromebook. Basically, all I want it for is something I can use like a SSH with.
Has an asset tag on it, like it was used in school or something.
Yeah, I found out that I've got a setup mumble on another machine. So I had to pick out to use a different machine for this show. So I didn't have to go through the mumble wizard. I know it's not much, but it would just take more time than I want to spend. By the way, Danny, I would look into FreedomBox as a possible host for some of your single board applications.
Oh, really? Have you been playing with it?
Well, I've been checking it out. Over. I haven't got. There is one for the Pi 2 through 4. The FreedomBox hardware is an ARM box that has like 1 gig of main memory on it. They recommend 2 to 8. You can convert any Debian to it, but you have to mess with the networking to strip it down to a specific set of interfaces. And as far as I know, FreedomBox goes to the old-school network manager networking stack instead of the NetPlan stack that a lot of stuff is using, which doesn't break my heart because I like Network Manager, especially the text user interface version. And I'm not really keen on NetPlan. And I don't also. The network manager's interface is a lot easier to use with the text user interface over SSH.
I like NetPlan. It's like just a little YAML file you make. Pretty simple. I like network manager too.
Well, I'm just saying that I have played with network manager and its text interface. And if I had my druthers, I'd convert back to net manager, but I don't have the skills to do that.
So here's the little tough book. You can see it's got like this rubber edge all around it. It's kind of hard to see the texture, but it's real grippy. Small, kind of chunky. $99. I'm pretty sure that's what I paid for it. Got a little camera on it and stuff. Once I put that NVMe in there, it seemed to boot a lot quicker there than the eMMC. I think I'm just going to use it to kind of carry around with me instead of my... care what happens to this one. These are now. This is an Intel Celeron 4500. 4 gigs of RAM.
Well, that's not bad.
I do remember when I bought it, the guy was like, you don't want this. Windows just barely even runs on it. Oh. Anything like this. The lowest one they have is 269 Asus VivoBook. That's more than you want to pay, right, Uncle?
Yep.
I got another one just like it. Parts.
You update the RAM on it?
That stuff soldered on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, from what I see, $99 is a steal for any tough book that out there.
So, the BR1100DK. Asus selling them are, selling them for $129. Cheaper one. They get them no OS for $49.99.
There you go.
Oh, this is parts only.
Oh. Will you search on eBay?
Here's one. $55 for best offer. Oh. So I had another $99 laptop called a Winbook. You ever heard of that? It was made by MSI. But I used the wrong charger on it. Different voltage, and it fried the power.
Oops.
Threw it away.
One of the things that I find kind of interesting is that Debian is dropping 32-bit ISOs in tricks.
Really?
Hello. Hey, Joe.
Okay. Remembered to hit record on the Jitsi this time.
I still need to publish that last one, don't I?
Oh, do you?
Or the...
Joe one?
Yeah, the Joe one.
That's Joecast.
Basically just grab a screenshot from that and probably just use that and publish it. I just completely forgot about it. I haven't even downloaded it yet.
There. So on the boys, I revived my old Asus Toughbook $99 laptop from Micro Center a long time ago. Put Linux Mint on it. Put a little... It's got a 64 gigabyte eMMC, so I opened it up and I had a slot for an NVMe SSD, so I put a 512 gigabyte in there and then got 4 gigs of RAM. It runs pretty snappy. I put Fedora on there originally. It was
since you got that 64 gig eMMC, did you do some crazy things with the partitioning?
No, I...
Just put it all on the...
Put it all on the SSD, yeah.
It's probably not worth it, the extra space.
Yeah, I remember a long time ago when I first put Linux on here, I I had to put a line in the grub to get it to boot. I just remember it wasn't straightforward for sure.
Oh, like forcing it to see a specific partition on the eMMC or whatever.
Yeah, and it was because of the eMMC.
Yeah.
Now this has...
Well, the eMMC might be good for something like your home partition or something.
This has... So it has a barrel jack to charge it, or you can also charge it with USB-C. Got HDMI out. Two USBs. It's got a headphone jack. Got some ports that are covered with plastic to used. Got a volume button on the side.
Cool.
It's also got an RJ45 port.
Probably also got really shitty speakers.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for like what Honky was looking for, just something to get in a terminal.
Yeah. Well, the Toughbook line isn't terrible. It's just anything that has that 64 gig eMMC, I'm a little leery of.
Right.
Because it usually means it was designed to be, you know, cheap.
So this is manufactured 06-2021. Not that old.
Years. Yeah, but cheap. Well, most of the ones with the eMMC were made to be cheap.
We don't have show notes yet, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, 76. They're there.
I saw these were on eBay for about $50. You can get them. Maybe get you one, Honky, if that's what you're looking for.
I'll have to look up. Look at it. What's the screen size on it?
11.7, 11.5, something like that. 7, maybe. So
what's the processor?
It's N4500, I think.
I don't know.
But if you just need something cheap to jump on a terminal, and it's tough, you know, it's rubberized, and you can drop it, probably it won't hurt it too bad.
You usually get latitudes in the $100 range.
So we're doing 276 twice?
Nope, this is the only time we're doing 276. Last one was 275.
How come I've got complete show notes for 276?
Because, well, it's not complete. I just started up some notes.
Okay. Just that the next show date is September 19th.
No, I haven't updated the date. Where would I be without you, Netminer?
Well, you need to get this shit right.
I know.
You can tell because it says previous movie, Circuitry Man.
He doesn't know what the movie is.
Did y'all watch it?
Yeah.
I did too.
See, and I think my issue with this movie is it's going to get thumbs up because it wasn't as terrible as some of the movies we've watched. Not because it was a good movie.
Listen, hold your review until we start recording.
Yeah, I'll save my review. Show.
Yeah, I'm going to also think about spinning off another workstation so that my bedside PC is separate from my TV PC.
Did we want to wait for the show to start before we started talking projects?
Yeah.
Probably got a little bit. Yeah. Update on some shit.
Have you watching anything interesting?
Watched Peacemaker. Caught up with that, all except for the most recent one.
Yeah, me too.
Which was like yesterday.
I watched Superman today. But that was good.
Oh, the movie? Cool.
Yeah. New one? Because that just came out on HBO Max, so I watched it.
Oh. Well, I had traded some mesh routers, two in box. I was going to give them to the guy for free, and he's like, hey, do you want this OLED switch? So I'm like, yeah, sure. And it's the Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom edition OLED switch, which I guess is going for like $170 on eBay right now.
It's kind of cheap, I think.
Well, the OLED switch, I wouldn't be surprised if it came down in price.
Okay. Right, the Switch 2 came out?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I see one at like $250.
Damn. That reminds me, I have to get my Game of Thrones DVD.
You still haven't bought season one yet?
$150, $200 with all the parts that I have. And it worked. $220, $230. So yeah, those mesh routers weren't worth that.
So I haven't looked into it yet. So the Switch 2 came out, and there are games that say that they're Switch 2. Does that mean that's that the Switch 2 is like the next is like a whole new thing?
Yeah.
Is it backwards compatible?
You can put your old games in it. I don't know if it'll play them directly off of it, but it will like pull them off of the Nintendo cloud, whatever service play store that they freaking have. There's a lot of copyright issues going on with Nintendo right now in regards to the Switch 2. Because they've locked people out for buying used games. They've locked people out for backing up their own games and playing their own backups. They will lock you out if you mod your hardware in any way. And, you know, that wouldn't be... Some of that would be mostly understandable if the majority of their games weren't cartridges, physical cartridges, weren't just links to their store to download the game. If the cartridges actually had the game on them, then, you know, you get locked out of the Nintendo network, whatever, you can still play shit.
Right.
But if you have to connect in order to be able to even play anything that you own, then you don't really own your Nintendo Switch 2.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I got a pretty good deal on this Nintendo Switch. OLED. And a base station and a controller. Don't know if I'm going to use it, but I got a good deal. Oh, hard right up. Looks like the battery's freaking dead. You'd say he wiped it. That some time. But what I might end up doing is swapping this out with my wife's non-OLED. And then I know it's easier to mod the non-OLEDs than it is the OLEDs.
What type of mods do they have out there, Fred?
Just so you can play like homebrew and shit. Or play, you know, any downloaded game or anything like that and not have to get on the Nintendo's network. You can turn it into a retro gaming station. Or watch videos on it. Because I don't want to do a mod on this particular OLED switch if it's that valuable.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think before we start, I'm going to get either coffee or beer. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, liquid death. I need to put some of these in the fridge for tomorrow. Oh, you know what I need? A charge. You've been watching anything?
For me?
Anybody. Anybody not me.
I've been watching, I watched that Rick and Morty season 7. Is that the latest one? I don't know.
All of my stuff on my Plex is out of order because I just redid it, but I'll talk about that during the show.
I watched all of the Phantasm movies. All 5 of them. And now I've gone into the Conjuring series. I started off with The Conjuring, and then I went backtracked to The Nun. So I watched The Nun 1 and 2. I watched Annabelle Creation. I'm on Annabelle right now.
Sounds like you need to watch the House movies.
Probably.
I'll finish these up, and I'll find something else.
I wonder if they're available anywhere, because I remember really enjoying like House 2.
I bet you they're on Tubi.
Yeah, American horror films between 1985 and 1992. With the fifth installment scheduled for release in 2024.
Of House?
Yeah, House, House 2, The Second Story, House 3, The Horror Show, House 4, The Repossession, and 2024, I guess, I don't know if it's a reboot, continuation, whatever, House.
In news from all over, next week I should be getting my eyes tested again and hopefully getting my glasses. I'm looking forward to getting a full corrective lens on my right eye and a limited corrective lens on my left eye, which I would like to have them give me a limited range, maybe 10 feet or something like that, of clarity. Not perfect clarity at distance, but just some usability for across the room.
Lovecraft's not making it?
Doesn't seem to be.
Hortense, he said he wasn't going to make it. And I know, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Said he wasn't going to make it.
All right, do we want to just start it then?
I'm fine with that.
All right.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net /techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Blindrich, he's a bloody drunko.
If you don't like gas, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it back.